Hello and welcome to the Everybody Knows show. How has everybody's week been? I know it's been really crazy with elections going on. You know, everyone's taking sides. A lot of people are unfollowing each other. So I hope everybody's doing good. I know things have just been crazy for everyone. But I guess this podcast can be a chance to take your mind off of all that for a bit and just dive into celebrity drama, I guess. Let's see. Ariana Grande posted her first picture with Ethan Slater to her social media. Okay, that is an article. I want to open the article, but first I kind of just want to go straight to her Instagram. Let's check it out. Ariana Grande. And let's see if she posted it to her Instagram. Because I don't see anything here. So she posted the part of the Wicked movie trailer. She posted a selfie of herself. I mean, and then she posted one with Cynthia Erivo, and that's actually very, those are very beautiful photos. I still don't see one with her and Ethan Slater, so that's kind of interesting. I really love this pink bow dress, though, that she has. That is like a two-piece bow dress. It's a skirt with a beige top that has bows all over it. I'm kind of obsessed with it. It's giving Barbie core, like old Barbie. Oh, and then she has one with another Glinda dress. I'm obsessed with this Glinda dress. I kind of like it even better than the one that's in the movie. I wonder if this one is in the movie. I don't know, but it's gorgeous. No, it seems like she wore it to a premiere. I kind of love this dress much better than the one in the movie. That's just my opinion. Let's see. Still no photo of her and Ethan, so what social media were they talking about? I might just have to go back to the article. Here, let's see. There is more. All of her latest photos, in case you guys are wondering, if you don't have Instagram, all of her latest photos on Instagram are definitely promoting the Wicked film. It's ironic. My cousin has liked every single one of these photos. Me and him want to go watch the movie, but he lives all the way in North Carolina. So sad. More promotion photos. Her in ballet flats. Oh, well, actually, her and Cynthia in ballet flats. But I kind of love this, both of them in ballet flats. Cynthia Erivo's has black ballet flats to match her character. It has, like, that very emo, not emo, but, like, dark witch aesthetic. And then Ariana Grande in the pink ballet flats. Look, I still don't know how I feel about her with blonde hair. It's not my favorite look on her, the blonde, because it just blends so much with her tone. Like, the blonde is the same tone as her skin. But I don't know. Let's see. It like, matches her bronzer. The blonde, that's what it is. The blonde that she has is the exact same shade as the bronzer defining her cheeks. So it, like, blends in completely. Almost like her hair is painted on rather than, like, actual hair. But, oh well. Yeah, still no photos of Ethan Slater. So, I don't know. Is it on her story? Let me click her story. Holding the hand of every... okay. No, so she posted her political views. We're just gonna skip that because, again, I know we're trying to get away from that right now. Some people, but yeah, no, Ethan Slater is not on Ethan Slater is not on her Instagram. So let me go back to the article. Let's see. Ariana Grande posts first picture with Ethan Slater. No, I do not accept the cookies. To her social media. The cast of the Wicked movies has officially kicked off the press tour for the first installment of the franchise in Australia. First installment. Does that mean there's going to be franchise? Does that mean there's going to be several Wicked movies? Ariana Grande is commemorating the occasion with another first, posting Ethan Slater on her Instagram feed for the first time on November 3rd. Okay, so it is on her Instagram. I don't know. Let's scroll down until we see it in this article. Let's see. Because I did not see it on Instagram. Maybe I didn't scroll far enough. How old is this? Let's see how old. This was released 3 days ago. Okay, how much can she post in 3 days then? Because I genuinely didn't even see it. Yeah, no. Did she like take it down or something? Don't tell me they already broke up right after she posted that. All right, let me see. Slater's romance, talking about the romance, blah, blah, blah. Okay, now it's gonna like bother me to not say what they're talking about. Back in September, Grande publicly addressed her relationship with Slater for the first time. Exactly months later, Slater opened up about Grande for the first time in an interview with GQ. She's such an amazing performer, Slater said of Ariana Grande, also adding that she's really excited for the world to see her taking on Glinda. I'm really just proud of Ari and the work she's done on this, and she's poured herself into it. Okay, so more of him talking. Ariana Grande, literally, this article is not showing the Journey Through the Oz tour. No, this article's not showing. Okay, this is cap. This has to be a cap. Oh, you know what I could do? I could just Google. Just Google to. Did Ariana Grande post Ethan Slater? Alright, let's Google it. If my voice sounds different today, I am a little bit stuffy. Did Ariana Grande post Ethan Slater? Images. It's interesting because they said she posted Ethan Slater. However, there's no Google images of it. So, I'm gonna just say that this is a cap. Straight up cap. They were, what's it called? Clickbaiting us with that headline. How rude. The disrespect. I mean, unless they're talking about the trailer she posted. Let me see. Is he even in the trailer that she posted? Let's find out. And she posted this September 5th anyway, so that was way before my birthday, months ago. I don't see him in there. I'm watching the trailer for those of you who are wondering. The comments, though, we can read the comments. It says, y'all gonna show the entire movie, but the time it comes out, because how many trailers do we need? That's actually pretty funny. I'm not sure if Ariana Grande has any respect for other artists after hearing what she did to Cassandra Peterson. Well, what is that? What happened with Cassandra Peterson? This is something I kind of want to look at. Ariana Grande and Cassandra Peterson. Let's see, who is that and what happened? So it says, Ariana Grande apologizes to Elvira over photo snub 7 years ago, blames anxiety attack. Grande said she's so disheartened and doesn't remember meeting the mistress of the dark. What? Ariana Grande apologized to actor Cassandra Peterson, better known as horror movie host Elvira, Mistress of the Dark. After Peterson described feeling snubbed after she met Grande years ago. In a video on Instagram, Peterson, the self-proclaimed Queen of Halloween, was asked about celebrity encounters at a Knott's Scary Farm fan Q&A on Friday at Knott's Berry Farm on Buena Park, California. She recounted the story of her worst run-in with celebrity, a singer whose name, she said, rhymes with Pariana Monde. So, let's see what else it says. Peterson said that Grande requested 20 tickets for an Elvira show for her friends and family, and Peterson signed autographs and took pictures with them backstage. Okay. However, when Peterson asked for a photo with Grande, she said Grande declined, saying, "No, I don't really do that," which promoted boos from the panel crowd. Peterson said Grande also left before the Elvira show began, leaving her friends and family. Oh, that's so rude. On Monday, Grande commented on Peterson's Instagram post, which also shared screenshots of an article outlining Peterson's claims, to share her own side of the story and apologize. "I'm so disheartened." This is what Ariana Grande said. "I'm so disheartened to see this. I actually don't even remember getting the chance to meet you because I had an anxiety attack. And to my memory, I left before the rest of my family. This was around 7 years ago. And at the time, I was really not great with being in public crowds or loud places," she said. "But if I'm misremembering this moment, I sincerely apologize for offending you so." Okay. And I think she continues to say, "Thank you for being so nice to my mom. She told me how lovely you were. She might have different feelings about that now, but I'll talk to her. Clearly, we all have our days," Grande wrote. "You'll always be our Halloween queen of Halloween." This was in 2017 during the Manchester attack. She didn't want to be seen in the public eye, and what happened to women supporting women. Yeah. So, I mean, I could see both of their sides. Others sided with Peterson, commenting that Elvira has always kept it real and that "I'm very inclined to believe this is very true." Peterson played Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, in the 1980s television program. Okay. This is, like, just a weird... what's it called? This is just a weird run-in. I could see both of their sides, especially if there was an attack going on during that time. As a celebrity, like herself, Ariana Grande would probably want to hide from the public eye. But you're going to go visit another artist with your family members, and that artist is so honored that you're there that that artist wants to take a photo with you. I mean, why are you even there if you didn't even want to take a photo with her? Like, it's a meet and greet. That's kind of dumb. It's very, like, self-absorbed. But yeah, this was 7 years ago. It's only being brought to attention now. I kind of think if it happened that many years ago, leave it in the past. Hopefully they can, you know, patch things up. But yeah, I do think that's really disrespectful of Ari. And if that is what happened. And honestly, I wouldn't bring it up if I was the other actress. I don't know. What are your opinions on it? Feel free to let me know. We do have a call-in number, so let me get that for you. All right. I did not get the caller number. Let me try that again. Y'all ever hate when phones lag? Because today is one of those days. The call-in number, in case you want to call in, let me know your opinions on what happened with the Mistress of Darkness and, I almost said Taylor Swift, Ariana Grande. Let me know what your opinions on who was in the wrong. Well, you already know, I think it's pretty disrespectful. Interesting, you learn new tea every day. I'll give you the phone number right now. If my phone decides to load. I think I need a new phone. I have literally a Motorola. It's really old right now. The number, if you want to call in, is 813-324-1048. To let me know your opinions on the whole Ariana Grande situation. All right. So let's see what else is going on in the media other than politics. Justin Bieber shares first family photo with son Jack Blues. Okay, is this another clickbait? let's see. Let's see if this is another clickbait moment or real. I'm just going to go straight to Justin Bieber's Instagram. I know Hailey Bieber was sharing some photos. I think it was for Halloween. Let me see. Justin Bieber. Okay, yes, the Kim Possible photos. I love how they did this little Kim Possible photo shoot. They dressed up their baby as a little mole rat, but they aren't showing his face on Instagram, which that's pretty good parenting, especially in the spotlight that they are in. But, you know, they're still including him in the photo. They just are holding him against their chest so you can't see his face. I think that's so cute. And Hailey looks stunning with that red hair. Justin finally has an excuse to wear his baggy clothes. I don't know. I think it's pretty hilarious. It's interesting, though. He posted a photo of, like, the characters, the cartoons first, and then a photo of his family. I would have done it the other way around, where I would have posted a photo of... Who did he... And he also tagged the photographer, I guess. Oh, that's nice. That's nice that he tagged the photographer. Did he tag his wife, though? No, he didn't tag his wife. I mean, I guess everyone knows who his wife is, so I guess he didn't have to, but that would have been nice. And it would have been nice if he put his family as first in the slide of pictures, but oh well. Now that I think about it, he just has some weird posts. Like one of an owl, one of the moon, one of of a praying mantis. I can't even hate on him because I legit am always taking photos of different animals. But that's because I love photography. This to me just seems really random. Did he even take the photo of the owl? I don't know. Or the photo of the moon. He, like, will post a photo of something random. And this is a trend I'm seeing on his Instagram. He posts a photo of something random. And then after that slide is when he posts, like, personal photos. That's really interesting to me. Versus Hailey Bieber. Let's go see how she did this. Okay, Hailey Bieber just posted a photo of herself first. And then three slides later posted the family photo. And she just did a really random photo dump of October things. Her Instagram does promote her brand, but it is still a little bit self-absorbed to just post your photo and then the photo of your baby. I would have, honestly, I would have posted them on two separate posts. But that's just me. That way you can have one post that's just the photo of you, and then another post that's just the photo of your family. That's just my opinion, though. They're the ones making millions. They're the celebs. So, oh well. Can I say, though, I think it's so interesting. Heidi Klum did the E.T. costume, and so did the other singer. Wow. Was there copying going on? I don't know. I liked Heidi Klum's... Excuse me for yawning. I liked Heidi Klum's costume way better. I liked the detail in the wig and the lashes for her E.T. costume. It was 10 out of 10. And I kind of liked that there was three people who dressed up as E.T. that movie doesn't get enough love, especially in this time. But yeah, I don't know if you guys have been to the mall and have seen the life-size E.T. statues that are in the comic book stores. It's so cool. But yeah, the movie doesn't get enough love, so the fact that they were dressing up as E.T. was hilarious. Alright, let's see what's next on the media. So people have been apparently body shaming Selena. That's not great at all. That's not nice. It says Selena Gomez claps back at body shamers as she reveals new health diagnosis. When you buy through links on her articles. Oh, come on. This is an ad. Okay, let's continue to the article. Selena Gomez is taking a stand against online body shamers who criticized her appearance at the premiere of Emilia Perez at the American French Film Festival at Los Angeles. Gomez stars along Zoe Saldana in the forthcoming Spanish language musical, which will debut on Netflix on November 13th. For the film's premiere on October 29th, Gomez wore a black Carolina Herrera dress featuring long sleeves and a high leg slit and an asymmetrical neckline per WWD. She accessorized the dress with black pumps and diamond drop earrings. Following the event, okay, wait, so no necklace, because I hate that trend where people are not wearing necklaces anymore. I mean, some dresses you really don't want to wear a necklace with, but let's just see. I gotta see her outfit first before I hate on that. Following the event, Gomez commented on TikTok video, which has since been deleted. The Daily Mail reported commenters reportedly criticized Gomez's appearance and suggested that the singer pose, which saw her occasionally placing her hand over her stomach, had some special significance. Oh, so they were hinting that she might have been pregnant, I think. That's not... you never want to assume that. This makes me sick. The only murders in the building, star wrote in her comments. I have SIBO in my small intestines. It flares up. I don't care that I don't look like a stick figure. I don't have that body. End of story. No, I am not a victim. I'm just a human. According to the Mayo Clinic, SIBO is an abbreviation for small intestine bacterial growth. The condition means that a person's intestines don't absorb fats, carbohydrates, and proteins efficiently, which can lead to damage in the body. SIBO can also cause weakened bones, osteoporosis, vitamin deficiency, and kidney stones. Gomez also lives with the autoimmune condition lupus, for which she underwent chemotherapy and a kidney transplant. Discussing her role. Nah, well, basically that's what happened. So let's see, what dress were they talking about? Because I love looking at dresses. I love judging dresses. Never is it okay to judge a woman's body. Dresses, however, as a fashion enthusiast, I will be the judge of this. Selena Gomez, latest black dress look. That's what I'm gonna put. Nah, I don't think that's the right one. Selena Gomez and Zoe Saldana. Images? Is this the dress? I think this is the dress they're talking about. Because it has black pumps, drop earrings, and a low V-neck. I mean, the dress isn't bad. It's not my favorite. Could I buy something like it at Forever 21? Maybe. She looks stunning, though. The sleeves are interesting. That's what I'll say. I don't know if I love it or hate it yet. They're interesting. Like, it makes the dress unique. Without that, the dress is just a simple dress. Yeah, this is definitely the dress they're talking about, I think. I love the V-neck line. I think it's beautiful. I guess because the sleeves are so interesting, maybe it doesn't need a necklace, but I still would have loved a necklace. But yeah, maybe a necklace for this one. Going without the necklace might have been a good idea. But I love the dress on this. I think her poses were beautiful, so those people are just haters straight up. She looks gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous. Okay, what doesn't help, I think, is just that the backdrop for some of these photos is black, and then the dress is also black. So you can't really see what is the dress and what is the backdrop. Versus, I'm looking at these other photos where she has a bright backdrop, and you can really see the silhouette of the dress, and it's just gorgeous. So people really need to chill out. But yeah, this dress is beautiful. Still something I could probably get at a store, not gonna lie. But the sleeves are different. Yeah, the sleeves are different. But I don't know if this is gonna be mean, but the sleeves remind me of, like, you know, the little plastic stuff when you buy, like, a package of sodas and then you have to peel the plastic with all the circles on it. The sleeves look like that placed on her shoulders. Like the stuff that people pollute the waters with that the fish get stuck into. Like that. No hate on the dress, though. And no hate on Selena. I love Selena. All right, let's see what else is on the news. Or not the news, but just media in general. My gosh, I looked at so many photos of the dresses and I gotta click out of all of it. Taylor Swift fan says she's not okay after superstar wears vintage Chiefs jacket she sold. Let's see. She sold on eBay. Can't make this up. TikToker user by the name of Court shared in a video that she believes that the pop star's stylist purchased her Chiefs jacket online and that Swift wore it to the team's game against the Tampa Bucks. So Taylor Swift was wearing an old jacket at the Chiefs game tonight, Court opened up in the video saying. The Fortnite singer notably attended the game in a black leather vintage styled varsity jacket, which featured Chiefs colors and motifs, including a large Arrowhead logo on the back and red and gold sleeve detailing. She paired it with black top, black Agolde shorts, and $2,000 thigh high Christian Louis Vuitton Santia Botta boots. Cute. Yeah, the outfit is really, really cute. So why she's not okay? Court explained in her TikTok video that her mother initially clocked the resemblance between the jacket Swift wore to the one she used to own, and she recalled that they sold the jacket on eBay. She said that her dad eventually confirmed that they sold the jacket and sent it to California from Kansas City. I'm a longtime Swiftie. I'm talking like almost 20 years, and even I don't know the name of her stylist. And that is who bought the jacket, Court shared. Okay, so the person posting this is super excited because Taylor Swift bought her family jacket off of eBay. So we checked and double checked, and not only is it the exact same jacket, but also in the picture that we listed on eBay, you can kind of see like a bend in it. And you can see that exact same bend in the picture of her wearing it, she explained. I can't make this up. Well, you know what, period. I like when people buy reused stuff because you're doing better for the economy. I mean, not for the economy, you're doing better for the earth. Because the more you mass produce clothing, which is the problem with fast fashion, you know, the more you're polluting the earth, whether it's through the chemicals in the factory, you know, the resources needed to make the fabrics, it's just all of it adds pollution to the earth. Or even just there's so much clothes out there circulating that people aren't even being used, it's ending up in the landfills. It's crazy. So the fact that she's buying a used jacket is very nice to me. She also showed a picture of the eBay listing, which showed that it was bought for $169, though she did not say when Swift's stylist may have purchased the item. She also said that she would share some photos wearing the jacket in a size small from when she was younger. Oh, okay, that's cute. Thank you to Taylor Swift's stylist for buying the jacket. Court concluded her video as a lifelong Chiefs fan and a super Swiftie. This is the coolest thing to ever happen to me. That's so cool. This is a very wholesome story to me. And yeah, you can see the bend in the jacket. I see it right there. I think it's beautiful jacket and beautiful outfit. I mean, it's a great outfit to wear to a game. The boots that Oh wait, that's not a hat. That's just the shading. You know what? A beret would have just topped the look. I think personally, a black beret would have been super cute. 19 hours ago, Shaun White and Nina Dobrev make their first red carpet appearance as an engaged couple at Earthshot Prize. Oh my gosh, I just was watching the Earthshot Prize because Robert Irwin was on it. Let me see. I literally let me find that. Yeah, Robert Irwin was at the Earthshot Prize with the Prince of England. Not Harry. Why is my brain drawing a blank now? At the literal prince. This is crazy. Nice to see the prince out and about with William. Australians royalty with British royalty. The prince is looking charming and handsome as always. Such a beautiful man. These are the comments. The Prince of Wales with the Prince of Australia. Robert for King. Oh my gosh. These are kind of funny. I love how everyone in the comments just. Well, this person said Prince William, but everyone else is just saying Prince of Wales, Prince of Wales. If y'all don't know, Robert Irwin is one of my celebrity crushes. He has such a passion for conservation in nature. I would definitely go follow him if you can. and support his cause if you can. But yeah, the Earthshot Prizes was a cool award ceremony to look at. I mean, from his Instagram, I was checking out the Earthshot Prizes, so that's pretty cool. So it's really nice to know that Nina Dobrev was there, and that it was also her first appearance with her fiance Sean White in, you know, in a red carpet, which they just recently got engaged. So that's really cute. I think I talked about their engagement last week, if I'm not mistaken. Cynthia Rivos shades actresses who auditioned for Glinda in Wicked. Cynthia Rivos shaded the actresses who auditioned for the role of Glinda in the Wicked movie, expressing her gratitude that Ariana Grande ultimately landed the part. In a new interview with New York Times, Rivo, 37, and Grande, 31, spoke about the casting process, asked how they reacted after learning the other one had been casted. Arriva responded, "Absolutely no surprise whatsoever. I said, thank God," Grande recalled. Revo then made a dig at the other women who were being considered to play Glinda in the film adaptation of the hit Broadway musical. Thank goodness, because it was not the two ladies that I was auditioning with, Revo said, implying that the other two actresses that auditioned to play Oz's framed good witch were not up to the snuff. Ooh. That's not really kind of you to say. I just wouldn't. Ah, it's giving Mean Girls. It's giving Mean Girls. Don't like that. I don't like that. I mean, obviously they weren't as good because they didn't land the role, but you don't really gotta say that. So yeah, let's see what else happened. "21 Twilight behind the scenes facts that'll make you watch the movie in a whole new way." Okay, I want to click this article as a Twilight fan if you'd like to come on this little journey and find out these facts with me. Number one, first, in 2004, the unpublished manuscript for Twilight was given to the producer Greg Moradin, who brought it to the head of Paramount's MTV Films division. Mark Lord wrote the original film script, and the story was completely changed. According to Mark, on an episode of the Big Hit Show podcast, he was instructed to put in some more action to advance it more and give something more for the male audience. He told the Big Hit Show, "What I can recall of my pitch was, I don't really care for vampire stories. Wasn't my jam. But Romeo and Juliet, I love. So I went in and I was like, look, I don't love vampires, but I love telling the story about these characters. And so that's why they hired me." MTV and Paramount eventually lost the rights to Twilight and Summit Entertainment, ultimately the rights for the film adaptation. According to The Wrap, following the massive success of Twilight, there was an internal witch hunt trying to pinpoint who was responsible for letting the project go. That's so funny. It reminds me of the time that the people who made it was either King of Dreams or Moses King of Dreams or Joseph, or is it Joseph King of Dreams and Moses, they made those films, and I guess the films didn't do as good in box office as they intended for it to do. So the producers sent all of those animators and artists to go work for DreamWorks as a punishment, making a movie about an ogre known as Shrek. And Shrek was one of the best films ever. So something that was intended as a punishment actually became one of the best films ever. And one of the people working on Shrek was working on Ariel and quit because he didn't like the idea of Ariel having like red hair. He was like, that's just like way too dramatic, and he didn't like some of the stuff of Ariel, so he left that project, and he was like, Ariel's not gonna go far. And then Ariel turned out to be one of like the biggest movies. He was really salty about it, so he, you can see in, I think it's Shrek Part 2, Ariel goes up on the beach and then Shrek yeets her into the water. So I don't know, there's a lot of like little salty stuff that has to do with the Shrek movie. It just adds even more to the film. But let's get back to the Twilight facts. According to the Twilight director, Catherine Hardwicke, Mark Lord's original script literally had Bella on jet skis being chased by the FBI. She was a star athlete, nothing to do with the book. Catherine told the Big Hit Show podcast. She immediately told executives at Summit that if they were to get rights and adapt Twilight, this script has to go in the trash, and they need to make the film adaptation exactly like the book. Twilight production executive Gillian Boher told the Big Hit Show, "It was sort of exciting to us that somebody like Catherine, who had done such kind of grounded, realistic portrayals of adolescence, saw something in this book that really spoke to her." She continued saying she came in with an annotated copy of Twilight and a big visual presentation, and she'd put together a whole lookbook on how she saw Twilight. And from that point on, there was never really a serious conversation of any other filmmaker. Eventually, Melissa Rosenberg was brought on to write the Twilight script. She went on to write all the 5 Twilight movies. Speaking to the Big Hit Show podcast, Melissa said, "Well, it's interesting that the first writer on it was a man, and it led to jet skis and shotguns in order to deal with the challenge of making Bella proactive. And then when you put woman on it, we go in the direction of the character." Director Catherine Hardwicke knew Kristen Stewart was the perfect Bella Swan after seeing her in Into the Wild. I don't remember her in Into the Wild. Did I even watch Into the Wild? However, Kristen was unable to attend auditions for Twilight because she was filming Adventureland in 2009. So Catherine flew to Pennsylvania to meet with Kristen and even brought future Twilight star Jackson Rathbone with her to read seats. That's cool. And she said that Kristen and Jackson are just playing by the end, and I'm like, she's so good, she's perfect for this. She doesn't overact and doesn't push it. Yeah, that's nice. Number 4, Robert Pattinson was first brought into auditions after executives looked through photos of the Harry Potter cast to see if there was anyone who hadn't auditioned that would be right for the role. That's how they stumbled upon Rob, who played Cedric Diggory in Harry Potter from the Goblet of Fire. Okay, rest in peace, Cedric Diggory. We loved you. And hello, Edward. We also loved you. Summit Entertainment executive Eric Feig told the Big Hit Show that Rob sent in an audition tape after they asked him to audition. He said, "I remember I was watching it at home and my wife walked by and I said, watch this for a second. I said, I really like him. Watch him. What do you think? And she watches and she's like, yeah, really good. And I said, good looking? And she said, yeah. And I said, yeah, but do you think the average girl in America is going to think he's good looking? And she said, yeah, totally. Wow, that's really convincing. Eric said he recalled telling his wife they would likely clean up Rob's hair a little bit and make it less scraggly. And she told him no. No, his hair is perfect. I like how crazy it is. Kristen Stewart and Robert Patterson's chemistry read took place at Catherine Hardwicke's house. Notably, they performed the scene when Bella and Edward kissed for the first time. And Rob was apparently so into it that he fell off Catherine's bed. That's actually really funny. Rob and Kristen auditioned on the bed. The kissing scene, Rob was so into it, he fell off the bed. I'm like, dude, calm down. And I'm in there filming with my little video camera, whatever. After this audition, author Stephanie Meyer signed off on Rob and Kristen portraying Edward and Bella. When filming began on Twilight, author Stephanie Meyer gave Robert Patterson and Catherine Hardwicke an exclusive first look at her manuscript of Midnight Sun, which is Twilight told from Edward's perspective. Rob told in 2008, it is very top secret and it is like halfway, two-thirds finished. I read that right at the beginning of filming, and I got a lot of stuff out of that. Oh, that's so interesting, because I knew it was more like of a newer release. I didn't even know that she had started writing it then. That's kind of good, though, because he got to see what's inside of his character's thoughts, which I'm sure helped him portray Edward more properly. What I will say, after reading the first book, Edward is definitely more of a jokester, and his personality matches more so Rob in real life, because Rob in real life is such a... I don't know, he seems very like much of a trickster, much of a jokester, yeah, especially in his interviews of Twilight. He's more like outgoing and things like that. So, and in the movies he's like very dramatic, depressed vampire, which I mean in the books he is kind of like that as well. So, but I would have liked to see a little bit more of his playful side, which we did get a glimpse of that in the movie. Every now and then, whenever Rob would flash his little, like, half grin, which was also perfect, we would see that side of the character. But yeah, it's really cool that they, that she was starting Midnight Sun back then. I still haven't read Midnight Sun. I mean, I'm on the first book of Twilight, so of course I haven't. Twilight was filmed in only 44 days in Oregon, despite becoming a box office hit. Oh my goodness, only 44 days to film this film? That's insane to me. Like, I've seen films that it takes like 2 years to film. I mean, let's put this in perspective. The Snow White film that was announced like 4 years ago still has not come out. That's insane. Despite becoming a box office hit, it was filmed like an indie movie with a small budget on location and a short amount of shoot time. The movie was made for just $37 million, and 4 days before production began they had to cut $4 million from the budget. Oh wow, they had to cut $4 million. That's a lot. In 2018, Catherine Hardwicke told the Hollywood Reporter, nobody knew what it was going to be what it was. I didn't have committees giving me notes. I wasn't watched by big time producers. I didn't have the pressure of hitting blockbuster marks. We didn't even have a test screening, so it was really made like an indie film. Yeah, sometimes those are the best to me. But it also does explain for some of the acting, you know, with specifically, I'm going to say with specifically Kristen Stewart, with her, like, I don't know. We all know she has, like, some interesting facial expressions during this film and, like, mannerisms. The budget for Twilight was so limited that they couldn't afford to use a lot of CGI, aside from the scenes where Edward shows Bella how he sparkles in the sunlight. The Cullens are never really shown in the sun because production didn't have extra funds to spend on CGI to make them sparkling. I mean, well, that's okay. They're not really shown much in the sun in the first book anyway. So, I don't really see a big problem with that. Right now, they just posted a meme with this article that says, this is the skin of a killer, Bella. Catherine Hardwicke told Business Insiders, we were filming in the winter because that's when you have the most overcast. We didn't have bright sun because when the vampires would have to sparkle, because that's when the vampires would have to sparkle. We didn't want them to be sparkling all the time. We couldn't afford that. CGI sparkling cost a lot of money. Really? Because like nowadays you can get an editing app. I mean, I guess it won't work with the software they used, but like you could get an editing app and just make them sparkle. But I mean, it would probably look less professional. I don't know. I wonder how much that would cost nowadays to do that sparkly effect. I really wonder that, actually. The baseball scene took a week and a half to film instead of the initial 4 days estimated. It was shot on location in the Columbia River Gorge in Portland, Oregon. Due to the weather, they filmed during the winter. They had to make sure the clouds cover was consistent throughout the filming. If the sun came out or if it rained, they couldn't film. Makes sense. Catherine Hardwicke recalled to Business Insiders, the weather did not cooperate, and you can't have pouring rain because of all the makeup drip, because the makeup's gonna drip, yeah, the hair, they just don't look like the cool vampires in the pouring rain. Yeah, I mean, luckily now, there's like waterproof makeup now, but yeah, the hair, I don't know what to tell you about that. Also, what about the equipment, too? The equipment could get rained on. Using Supermassive Black Hole by Muse. That's a song in there. I love that song. During the baseball scene was a very early idea because author Stephanie Mayer listened to the Muse while writing the book. Catherine Hardwicke told the Happy, Sad, Confused podcast that she originally wanted the Muse to do the score for the whole movie, but the timing didn't work. But that's nice that they were able to, you know, use one of the songs. Catherine Hardwicke told Entertainment Weekly, I can't imagine the baseball scene with any other song. I'm sure most people, when they hear that song, the first thing they think about, the scene is the first thing they think about. It is. It really is. For the movement, when James, Laurent, Victoria meet the Cullens and Bella on the baseball field, a magic carpet-like rig was created out of plexiglass and covered with leaves so the trio could glide over the grass and approach the Cullens. I want to, like, rewatch the movie and see that. I want to see, like, behind the scenes of just that. That's so cool to me. Alongside of the rig, this moment wires had to be rigged on location so that while the Cullens played baseball, they could be pulled on wires both up in the air, like when Emmett and Edward slam into each other, or simply just so they could be pulled so they would appear like they were running faster. That's cool to me. It's cool that they did a good job with effects with such a limited budget. Number 12 is the first scene they filmed for Twilight was actually one of the hardest. It was the ballet studio fight between Edward, James, and Bella. Due to the limited budget, a lot of old school tricks were used to get the scene right. Instead of using VFX, for example, because all the mirrors Catherine Hardwicke and the camera crew had to simply hide the film and scene so they weren't visible. Yeah, that would be annoying. Imagine like trying to film. I like even sometimes just taking pictures with mirrors involved, you don't want the cameras in the way. And if you can't use special effects to edit out the cameras, you're gonna have to go to a specific angle where the mirrors are not revealing the cameras. Catherine told Entertainment Weekly that me and the camera person would accidentally be in the shot, and we didn't have the VFX budget on that film, so we had to find another way around it. Oh man. So there is a few more of these, but I am getting to the end of the podcast. If you are interested in reading the rest of these, this article is on BuzzFeed, and it's 21 Twilight behind the scenes facts that will make you watch the movie in a whole new way. So thank you so much for listening today. I am hoping everyone is doing all right. You know, just praying for everyone. Bye-bye.